Hello there. Welcome to the Expressive Mom Show. Miriam Slausberg here, and it's always so wonderful to have you along. Now, as parents, we worry about the kind of choices that our children are making. We want to encourage them to make smart choices and good choices. So my guest today, his name is Krishna Pendiala, and he's an unconventional life coach, workshop leader, and social change agent who uses a playful approach to empower people to make mindful choices in life. He is the president of Mindful Nation Foundation, a brainchild of Congressman Tim Ryan, whose vision is to help people overcome stress and lead more fulfilling lives. Most recently, under his leadership as the COO and life coach at Waldron Wealth Management, the firm grew over 500% through the Great Recession while improving the quality of life for both employees and clients. He is an accomplished software entrepreneur, award-winning multimedia producer, inventor, and sought-after business growth and personal advisor, and has guided individuals and teams at Boeing, Carnegie Mellon, and the Pittsburgh Steelers, and UBS, using his simple yet practical framework distilled from his varied career experiences. His transformational approach has been featured on TEDx, New York Times, Huffington Post, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, and Inc. magazine, among others. He's also the author of the critically acclaimed book, Beyond the Pig and Ape, Realizing Success and True Happiness. And I'd love to take this opportunity right now to welcome Krishna Pendiala. Hello, Krishna. How are you?
Hello, Miriam. Nice to be on your show.
Well, thank you so much for being a guest, and this is going to be quite interesting. So could you tell us what led you to do what you're doing? I mean, what prompted you to devote your life into the area of making choices?
Thank you, Miriam. That's the big question I always enjoy and am passionate about. We've all heard different phrases. You're a product of your choices, or you're a sum of your choices. And I always say, it's one of those two, and it all depends whether you like multiplication or addition. You know, you're a product if it's multiplication, you're a sum if it's addition. But nevertheless, one way or the other, you end up being a result of your choices. And no matter which way you look, whether it's with children, with adults, with countries, many of the reasons where we are, why we are where we are, is directly as a result of our choices. And then I wondered, who is really teaching people, children, adults, all of them, how to make choices? And I couldn't find a single course, even in any school, whether it's K through 12 or through college. And I discovered in MBA programs, they teach you decision making, which is a very elaborate analysis of pros and cons and consequences over time and that type of analysis. But the way I'm defining choices are the multitude of them that you have on an everyday basis. It's not the big five, as I call it, you know, where you're going to live, who you're going to marry, which major you're going to do, so on, which house you're going to buy, so on and so forth, which there is time to deliberate. But the choices that I'm referring to are the ones you say, do I bunk school? Do I cheat? Do I do my homework? Do I drink some more? Things like that. Those are the things that I realize nobody is teaching you how to make them. So I wanted to devote myself to research that area and also help people really get a step ahead in that space.
So did something in your life happen to make you want to go towards this direction?
Absolutely. But what happened was not that triggered it. I think it was the reflection on what happened of many things that happened that made me go there. For example, I was a really, a confused young teenager, very. And for example, I thought life should be fair. If you start living life that life should be fair, even that one assumption can make you end up in making some extremely poor choices.
Yep.
So that there were many events that happened, but it was that notion of not having the life that I wanted is finally what triggered to look at So what could I have done differently? What do I do differently going forward?
I see that. So now here's the thing. You have a very interesting title for your book, so I'd love to know how you came up with that.
Well, one of the things is, if you want something to stick, it needs to be memorable. You know, I always say, why do you need 500 self-help books or 500 personal development books? And I know there are more than that. Because really, if you followed any one of them, you would do a lot better in your life. Any one of them. Pick one. But the reason people keep buying the next book and so on and not nearly apply it into their life is because there's no easy way to remember it
right. And
to apply it. So I needed something that would be memorable, friendly, and easy to use. So I came up with, everybody likes animals, so I came up with two animals, which are the pig. First, it started with the one animal, which is the pig, because I felt that one of the prime reasons for making poor choices is our need for instant gratification.
Mm-hmm.
So the pig happens to be an animal that actually believes in that. So it's pursuing instant gratification is an acronym. PIG is an acronym for pursuing instant gratification. And as soon as I came up with that, I also realized that there are a lot of choices that are made because of aversion, avoiding things. And that's where the ape came up with. I came up with the ape for, which stands for avoiding painful experiences. So that's really the essence behind the ability to make choice. And then if those who study psychology would immediately tie it to pleasure and pain, to greed and fear, any of those things.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So now I'm going to ask you this question. When it comes to children, are there any particular aspects you could highlight as far as decision-making and what have you?
So that's an interesting question because the younger you are, you want it right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what it said. I want it right now.
Right.
What is that? That is just the expression of the pig, right? Pursuing instant gratification. I want it right now. I can even hear it in children. So when you explain to them about the pig and the ape, one of the things I've been asked to is write a children's version of my book for that very reason is because it connects. Kids like animals, adults like animals, but I have not written a children's version of this book, but I can at least share it on your show as to how you could apply this. And I've had children use it because they go, oh, that's my pig. And they're able to catch themselves. And there goes my pig again. And when you're able to be aware, because the key is, I came up with the idea of beware, right? Where do you think beware comes from? The way to solve beware is if you add an A in the middle, be aware.
Be aware, right.
Be aware and beware. The A got, I think the A disappeared somehow. But it's really about be aware. You know, you have beware of the dog. It's really about being aware of the dog. And obviously, mm-hmm. I've seen some funny ones, forget the dog, be aware of the owner, you know.
Yeah.
But here for children, it's very important for them to catch themselves, not be reprimanded for what they do. So if you give them a framework and some easy to remember, memorable, friendly tools, they're able to associate, and there goes my pig ape again. There goes my pig. Oh, it's just my pig. I can't help it. And they're able to kind of catch themselves. And that's really about, I mean, knowledge is about awareness, but applying that knowledge is more about actually living it out, which is how the test is when you live it, not when you think it or when you talk about it.
Right. So now, what do you think does get into the way of them making smart choices, children or adults even?
I like the way you phrase the question, smart choices, as opposed to wise choices or opposed to good choices. So I have a basic philosophy. If you don't learn from your own mistakes, I would say that's a pretty dumb thing to do, which is you made a mistake and you're not learning from it. And the next level is smart, which means you actually learn from your mistakes. So you make some choices and you learn from those mistakes and you don't repeat those same choices. But really what we want to transcend to is wise choices which come from us either observing our drives, which I'll get into a little bit, but really observing other people. If other people, if someone walks into a hole, you don't want to follow it and say, I'm going to avoid it. Mm-hmm. Just walk around it because you just saw somebody go down the hole. But most of the time, we'll say, not me. That's not wise.
Mm-hmm.
That could be smart. So once you go into something that looks dark down, next time you do the same thing, then that's, and not do the same thing, that's smart. But if you saw somebody going into a hole and you say, not me, I'm going to challenge it, that's not being wise.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to learn from other people's mistakes, and that's really what I like to inculcate even with kids. Do you want to hurt yourself or would you like to skip it because you just saw somebody else getting hurt, right? Once bitten, twice shy. Things like that. We constantly teach these phrases to our children. They all have basis, once bitten, twice shy, you know? Or, you know, when you burn your finger, what is that? I forget the phrase. They say, you know, once burnt, don't burn it again. And that's really how that comes from experience. There's a great quote, which is, they say good judgment comes from experience and experience comes from bad judgment. Right,
right. Right. And, you know, there's a maturity factor, too. You know, the more children experience things and the older they get and the more mature they become, they're going to see it for themselves. I mean, the thing is, you can tell children what kind of choices to make, but if they don't see any benefit, they're going to still do what they want.
That's right. So you can't, the key word is tell. Telling hardly works with children or even with adults for that matter. We just think we're doing better with adults. Really, telling doesn't really work. So helping them see it, it's really a great way for helping them learn. Because if they see it, make it very graphic for them. Replay a choice. Replay. Right. And I'll give you a great story. I have a 16-year-old and a 14-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And 3 days ago, I was so happy to share this because it's such a wonderful story behind it. He wants his license. And so you got to do 65 hours of driving, and then you are eligible for a license. Most parents don't even ask their children to track it. They wait for the 6 months, and then they go to the license. I couldn't afford to do that because driving a car is one of the most riskiest and dangerous acts you could bestow on anyone, especially a 16-year-old.
Right.
So I told them to begin with, start tracking your driving then in a spreadsheet. And he refused to do that. And I said, very simple, I have to sign a document that you did 65 hours, so unless I have some evidence of it, I am not able to sign that. So that was a negotiation. Then he had to make a choice. Does he want his license or does he not? He wanted his license bad enough, so he started tracking it in Excel. And then the other day, our neighbor wanted to give him his weightlifting set. So he said, Papa, can I drive over to their house and pick it up? It's 3 doors down. And I said, well, you can, but think about if that's what you really want to do. And he said, I've driven back from their house once before, so what's the big deal? I said, well, if you get pulled over, I don't know what the consequences are. And I was busy doing something else. I said, why don't you talk to Mom? And I'm fine with whatever you two decide. And my wife told him, go ahead, no worries. And he left the house. 2 minutes, maybe, not even 2 minutes, a minute later, he walks back in. And I said, what happened? He said, I want to find out what the penalty is. If it is 3 months, I'm driving. If it is 6 months, I'm not.
Wow.
And so he goes online and Googles it and finds out that if he gets caught driving without an adult while he has a permit, he has to wait until 18 to get his license. So he chose not to drive.
Right. Because he had to find it for himself. He had to discover it for himself.
But the key thing he did was to take the pause, to consider the consequences, right? And in fact, it was brilliant that he was even put boundaries on his punishment. He said if it is 3 months, and this kid knew he's not eligible till October, So I told him that even if he gets it in October, he's not driving in the winter. So he said, if it is 3 months, no big deal. It's not going to affect me. If it is 6 months, I do care because I'll be able to drive. So that's a 16-year-old. So he's technically still a child.
Yeah.
And
yeah. Mm-hmm.
He was able to pause, evaluate consequences, come back and verify. It was not fear, right? This was mm-hmm. completely looking at, okay, what's going to happen? I'm willing to take a chance if it is 3 months because it's not really going to hurt me. But if I'm going to have to wait 6 months, and then he found out he has to wait a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
I was not involved in this decision-making process whatsoever.
Right, right. Wow, okay. So is there anything you can suggest for parents so their children can learn the skill to make better choices?
It's really about making them pick up some easy-to-remember things so that you can point and repeat the same thing over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
So the construct of the pig and the ape works really well because they're simple words, right? It's not difficult. Most people don't forget them ever. And then basically point it out. And then after a while, they'll point it out. And they'll actually catch you.
Yeah.
And it becomes a nice conversation in the home. And this is the one cute story I'll share. Two 70-plus-year-old grandmom were having this conversation, and the daughter told me the story. And one of them was saying, you know, I go to my daughter's house, and the grandkids are pretty unruly. Then they make a mess, and I need to clean up.
Right.
So the other grandmother says, why don't you have a chat with your daughter? And this person goes silent, and the other grandmother says, ape.
Wow.
Think about it, right? And both of them started laughing, I believe, because both of them had read the book, and they caught each other and finally realized it was the ape that was preventing her from having a chat with her daughter to talk about, hey, I'm getting old, I'm having a tough time cleaning up the house after your kids, I'm agreeing to babysit, but you know what, it would be nice if you taught them a little bit about taking better care of what they do because I'm not able to keep up.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very easy conversation, but the ape will say, what if she misses whatever the stories are.
Right, right. Okay. Well, Krishna, this has been very fascinating, and you've pointed out some very valuable pointers. So I'd love to ask you finally, how can people get a hold of you?
So one of the things is, first of all, I think it'll be a great way to get a good basis based on reading the book, which is a simple read, and it has 21 true stories that I have personally experienced or had been told. I think only two of those stories are given to me. The rest of them I personally experienced. So these are live situations, and one section of it, I call it life spaces. We all live in six life spaces, ourselves, our partners, our friends, our children, our work, and our money. So there's a section even for children about what happens when children make choices or we make choices with them. And there's a phenomenal story that actually real life in the book. So my neighbor's son and my son are the same age. Both of them mowed our lawns. And one day my neighbor's son was mowing the lawn and this little rabbit popped out of a hole and he hit it with his mower. So here is a little rabbit almost dying. And my son is beside himself crying, and both of them are beside themselves because they just killed a rabbit. And my son was not even involved, but just watching the poor thing struggle. And so my wife called me at work and said, what do I do? This kid is just crying uncontrollably.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know what to say. But later on, she told me that she told him, don't worry, he's in a better place.
Mm-hmm.
To which he looked at her square in the eye and asked her, are you telling me the world is bad, dangerous?
Mm-hmm.
So it's very important how we even speak to our children in terms of, you know, don't worry, he's in a better place. I've heard that so many times.
Yeah.
But we don't realize how it is processed. And so there are lots of stories like that are very telling in terms of what we do and what the other person interprets. So I think the book is a very good starting point. And I've been getting a lot of requests. So one of the things I'm actually going to be offering in the fall is online courses, live online courses on the aspect of how to exercise better judgment and make more better choices, especially mm-hmm. where it's on a daily basis, right? The things that you do 10 times a day, 20 times a day. So I'd stay tuned for that, and you could get that out of my website, krishnapandiala.com. Mm-hmm. And also, I think the book would be a good starting point, and it's available on Amazon.
All right, wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Krishna. It was a total pleasure. You provided a lot of valuable information, and I'm certainly going to be following your advice. So thank you, and this was great. Thank you again, everyone. You have a super rest of the day and super rest of the week. Take care and bye for now.